Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Trump Ogilip's Restoring American Democracy by David Frum examines the democratic stress test created by the Trump era and the broader conditions that made it possible. Known for sharp political analysis and a focus on institutional health, Frum uses this book to connect daily political drama to long-running vulnerabilities in American governance. The central aim is not simply to recount controversies, but to identify why guardrails weakened and how they might be rebuilt. The book explores how party incentives, media ecosystems, and polarized identity politics can reward extreme tactics over democratic compromise. It also considers the role of public trust, legitimacy, and civic norms in sustaining constitutional structures that are often assumed to be self-enforcing. Written for readers who want an argument rather than a news recap, the book frames the period as a warning about the fragility of democracy and a call to practical repair. Its focus is how to restore democratic confidence without denying real grievances that fuel disruption. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, diagnosing the democratic breakdown. A major focus is diagnosing how American democracy can drift from healthy competition into a cycle of delegitimization and institutional strain. The book treats the Trump era as an accelerant rather than a single cause, emphasizing that vulnerabilities existed beforehand in political culture, party strategy, and public expectations. It looks at how distrust in institutions grows when citizens experience government as unresponsive, inconsistent, or captured by insiders. When that distrust hardens, normal checks and balances may still exist on paper, yet become harder to enforce in practice because political actors and voters interpret every constraint as partisan sabotage. The analysis also highlights the importance of democratic norms that are not codified, such as restraint, truthfulness in public argument, and respect for electoral outcomes. Once those norms weaken, actors can exploit loopholes, stretch precedents, and normalize tactics that were once considered out of bounds. The result is a feedback loop where each side expects bad faith from the other, making compromise risky and escalation rewarding. This topic sets the foundation for the rest of the book by clarifying what exactly is breaking and why repair requires more than simply winning the next election. Secondly, party incentives and the politics of loyalty. Another key theme is how political parties can become vehicles for personal loyalty and cultural identity, rather than coalitions built around governance. The book explores how primary elections, donor networks, and activist media can reward ideological purity, confrontation, and spectacle. In that environment, elected officials may fear internal challenges more than general elections, pushing them toward performative politics and away from cross-party bargaining. The book also considers how partisan sorting makes many districts safer, reducing incentives to appeal to the middle and increasing incentives to energize the base. When party identity becomes tied to moral narratives about the other side, ordinary policy disagreements can be reframed as existential battles, which justifies extreme procedural tactics. The discussion shows how these incentives can lead officials to defend conduct they might privately dislike, because admitting wrongdoing is seen as conceding power to enemies. That dynamic can weaken oversight and blur the line between party advantage and public duty. By analyzing party behavior as a system of rewards and punishments rather than individual personality alone, the book argues that restoring democracy requires reforms and cultural changes that realign incentives toward accountability, pluralism, and results-based governance. Thirdly, media ecosystems, misinformation, and reality gaps. The book emphasizes that democracy relies on enough shared reality for citizens to debate priorities and judge performance. It examines how modern media ecosystems can fragment that shared reality through targeted messaging, outrage-driven incentives, and the rapid spread of misleading claims. When audiences self-select into information environments that confirm identity and suspicion, political persuasion becomes harder and political mobilization becomes easier. The analysis highlights how attention economics can reward the most emotionally activating content, which can push leaders and commentators toward exaggeration and conflict. The book also treats misinformation not only as false claims, but as patterns of selective framing that encourage cynicism about neutral institutions, including courts, civil service, and journalism. As trust erodes, citizens may come to believe that any unfavorable outcome is rigged, making it difficult to accept electoral defeats or policy compromises. This topic connects media structure to institutional stability. If voters cannot agree on basic facts or legitimate arbiters, accountability breaks down because no shared standard exists for judging leaders. The book points readers toward the need for information hygiene, civic education, and reforms that reduce the advantage of propaganda and viral distortion. Fourthly, institutions, under pressure and the limits of guardrails. A central argument involves the pressure placed on constitutional and administrative guardrails when political actors test the boundaries of acceptable conduct. the book considers how courts, Congress, law enforcement, and the civil service are expected to constrain abuses, yet their effectiveness depends on cooperation, credibility, and public support. When leaders treat oversight as illegitimate or partisan, institutions can be forced into defensive postures, and their actions can be reinterpreted through a tribal lens. The book explores how loopholes, ambiguous statutes, and inconsistent enforcement can create opportunities for norm-breaking that is technically legal but democratically corrosive. It also examines the hazards of politicizing appointments, undermining professional expertise, and attacking independent watchdogs. The analysis suggests that guardrails are not simply mechanisms, but relationships built on expectations about good faith. Once those expectations collapse, every tool becomes a weapon and every check becomes a battlefield. This topic frames institutional resilience as a practical problem. Institutions can survive a single shock, but repeated stress without reform can weaken capacity and morale. The book implies that restoration requires both structural updates and renewed commitments to impartial administration. Lastly, Paths to Restoration and Democratic Renewal. The book moves from warning to prescription by discussing ways to restore democratic health without romanticizing the past. It argues that renewal requires a combination of political reform, civic rebuilding, and cultural shifts that reduce the appeal of authoritarian-style shortcuts. Potential directions include strengthening ethics enforcement, protecting fair elections, reducing perverse incentives in electoral systems, and clarifying rules that are currently dependent on informal restraint. The book also highlights the importance of rebuilding legitimacy through competence and responsiveness, because citizens are less likely to embrace demagogic narratives when government delivers tangible results. Another element is recommitting to pluralism, recognizing that disagreement is normal in a diverse society and must be managed through fair procedures rather than winner-take-all domination. The book encourages readers to think in terms of durable systems rather than single leaders. Even if one political moment passes, the underlying drivers of polarization, distrust, and institutional fragility can persist. By framing restoration as a broad civic project, the book invites engagement from citizens, policymakers, and community leaders. The goal is not merely to prevent the next crisis, but to build a democracy that can absorb shocks while maintaining rights, accountability, and peaceful transfers of power. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand the Trump era as a democratic stress test rather than a sequence of headlines. It will appeal to politically engaged citizens, students, journalists, and policy professionals who care about institutions, norms, and the incentives that shape modern political behavior. Readers can benefit because the book pushes beyond personality-driven explanations and instead emphasizes systems, how parties reward loyalty, how media rewards outrage, and how institutions depend on public trust and shared standards of legitimacy. That shift in perspective can make readers more discerning about what reforms matter and what civic habits help democracy function day to day. Compared with similar political books that focus mainly on scandal, biography, or partisan scorekeeping, this one is framed as a diagnosis paired with a restoration agenda. Its value lies in connecting cultural polarization to structural weaknesses and then outlining practical directions for repair. For buyers choosing among contemporary political commentary, the book stands out as a guide to institutional thinking, offering a roadmap for strengthening democratic resilience even when political conflict remains intense. It is worth buying if you want analysis that links immediate events to long-term democratic stability. If you would like to support David Frum, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.